you coming, you know, from, we speak English in Kenya, we speak English, but when you came here, you're trying to speak English to an American. You sound like you're like you're speaking Spanish. That's crazy. Because what are you saying? Every time, like, what? Can you say it again?
Yeah.
Are you speaking Spanish? Some of days would say that, but yeah, that was tricky at first because they could not understand us.
Mujevale. My name is Barney Kibuka, and welcome to another episode of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Welcome once again to the Ugandan Boy Talk Show with your boy, Barney Kibuka. Today's episode is a special one. Like you see, I usually don't record. We are recording in the middle of the living room. And today, because I have a special guest, this guy right here, I have wanted to host this guy for a long time when I couldn't get him, but he happened to be in town and we decided let's do a podcast because I've always wanted to get you on a podcast. So
yeah, so my name, just like he said, Laban Kipto, and my friends call me Labo. People who are close to me, easier. And yeah, I'm from a family of four. I have a sister, no brother. He's my brother. And I'm married with one wife, no kids yet. I'm working on that.
Have you had the pressure of people asking you when are you gonna give, when are you gonna give birth?
Yeah. It started before we got married. When are you gonna get married?
Uh-huh.
So we're done with that. Now the kids.
Actually, talking about that, so Benjamin happened to get married, and you guys are like Benjamin. So did you?
Yeah.
And then I got And then who else? Somebody else got married. And then, did you ever feel pressure? Like, people are pressure? Like,
I really didn't feel. I mean, people would still pressure, but deep down, I'd be like, you know, I gotta take my time.
Yeah.
But also, when I got married, because, of course, Benja was married first. And it looked like it was too early.
Mm-hmm.
When I got married, people say we're too young. Yeah. I was too young to get married.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. People say that like a lot of times.
And I was 28, so I don't know how old they people want me to get married.
Yeah, I think I've had a few of those. Like, I think I was 26 when we got married. So people think, oh, you're too young, but it is what it is, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
4 years now.
Yeah. So Laban is from Kenya, and like most of you have had me on the podcast say, my mom is Kenyan, and we used to go to Kenya. I shared a few episodes about my trip to Kenya, which I'll ask him about his opinion. I shared about the post-election violence, which I was with him, and he's part of my story on that. One question I wanted to ask you. So Benjamin and I came from Uganda and coming to visit in Kenya. What did you think of us whenever we came to visit?
Man, I mean, it was amazing. We always, you know, thought of you guys, you know, we felt like you guys were way better off in Uganda. It was a special country. You guys were coming with gifts, nice stuff, and we really appreciated it. And also, the thing I really appreciated, I'm always thankful for you guys speaking English the whole time. That's your national language.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it's Swahili. That's all we know. And at that age, we were struggling speaking English. So you being around, trying to struggle.
That's pretty cool that you actually mentioned that, because it makes me think that we didn't have a language that joins us besides English. So you guys had to speak English so we can communicate, and like that helped you to also like better off your English, because some people speak only Swahili.
Yeah.
Because as long as they can speak Swahili, so they don't give in time to learn the English. But like also on our side too, like when we came to Kenya, grandma wouldn't speak English. So we had to force ourselves.
That's even tough. Yeah.
We had to force ourselves to speak Swahili.
But you were really good at it. Every time you come, you really pick it so fast.
Yeah.
I know when you go back, you kind of lose it because you don't get to speak it. Yeah. I know your mom, but you probably don't even speak.
No, my mom doesn't. She only speaks Swahili and Kalenjin when she gets upset, when she's mad.
When she's mad.
And she'll get mad at you in Kalenjin, and you don't even understand what she's saying, but like she's just.
But you know a lot of Swahili. You picked up a lot.
Yeah, I wish if I was staying like in community with people who speak the language, I think I can pick it up. So in the time in Kenya, like, what was some of your challenging moments? Like, what are some of the things you remember in Kenya? That was like, dang, that was challenging. Like lifestyle, life.
What can I say? Man, I think it's just generally life. But we were actually, when you look back, we were poor, lack for a better word.
Yeah.
And I mean, the good thing we didn't really lack anything. We could get food. Our parents are really, work. They work hard to mm-hmm. to get us, to eat and go to school. So we were, fair enough. I don't know what I can say. It really was challenging.
Yeah. You lived in Iten.
Yeah.
Iten is one of the towns in outside Eldoret. I think it's.
Yeah, it's like 30 kilometers. I don't know how many minutes.
Yeah. I mean, in Africa, you can't measure kilometers with time. Like, it might be 35 minutes and it takes you 2 hours to get.
Yeah, we used to kilometers. We can't. Yeah, we don't even use time. That's when I came to America.
Yeah, I was talking to my dad the other day and I told him my walk is 35 minutes and it's 35 miles. He's like, what? It would take us 2 hours to get to that place and just driving. But yeah, you lived in Iten. What are some of the memories you remember in Iten?
Man, Iten was really, really, I really miss it. We really had great, because we lived in the servants' quarters. Because mm-hmm. my mom, is a nurse, still a nurse at the time. So we lived in a community from, with different people from different part of the country. Because, of course, in Kenya, we have like about 42, 43 languages.
Yeah.
And that we had different people from, so we interact with different kids and we would play a lot. Like I said, soccer was like the main thing, because mm-hmm. we made our own soccer from rugs and with trash bags,
yeah,
and that's how we made our soccer ball. And yeah, that's what brought us together. We played a lot, mm-hmm. Running around the neighborhood.
So you mentioned Iten. Did you go to school in Iten?
Yeah, I did. I started in Iten. I've been in several different schools. I started in Iten, mm-hmm. Kindergarten, and I went to, I think, first and second grade, and then I went to my aunt's place in Nyaru.
Yeah.
Kapchebelela. I was there, I think, for third and fourth grade. That's when I went to school with Davey.
Yeah.
I lived with Davey. That's the thing. I've lived with almost all my cousins.
Yeah.
And then I went back to Iten, and then I transferred to another boarding school now.
Yeah.
So I stayed in Kabarnet. It's another across the Rift Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I finished my primary school. Then I went to high school in Kipkabus.
How was high school life, like, in general? What can you sum it up to? Like, how was your high school life in?
Tough. I mean, it's always not easy in high school, all the rules and stuff.
Yeah.
But again, the most memorable things, man, it's soccer. Like,
soccer, yeah.
I used to play for school too, so we've gone out for different tournaments. It's always fun to, hang out. And of course, going to, especially girls' school, it's always great to go to, talk and mingle with girls. Yeah.
So you went to a boys' school and then you guys would go to a
village? Yeah. Yeah.
That's
a lot of.
So you mentioned you went to school with Devi, and for the listeners who don't know who Devi is the other cousin of ours, and he's currently in Kenya. How was that like to be in school with your cousin? And were you guys in the same class?
I think we did. Yeah, we were in the same class, but not exactly in the same class. Different streams, because we had different streams. So he was in a different, but the same grade, but mm-hmm. different class. But yeah, I mean, we used to go. But because in Nyaru, because we were in the funny thing, we were, so there was a school just neighboring across the road, actually.
Yeah.
But we went to a different school, which was far. We had to wake up early.
Uh-huh.
We had to walk a long distance, and we had to walk every day. We would be lucky to get some, rides here and there. Yeah. But man, that was a challenging part. That was a crazy. We had to walk every day.
And you say that was the primary? Or?
Yeah, that was in primary. I was in, I think, third and fourth grade.
Yeah.
Man, I can remember those.
So days. I remember I remember visiting you at Kipkabus Boys. Is it Kipkabus Boys?
Yeah, Kipkabus Boys.
Is that the high school you went? That
yeah.
One of them?
Yeah.
You went to how many high schools?
Two. I went another one in Nakuru, yeah. That was a mixed school.
Okay.
I was in a day school, boys school. I went to a nice, fancy, you know, a private school.
Okay.
It was nice.
How was life in Kipkabus Boys? Oh, Kipkabus. Well, you said it was a mixed school?
The one I went after. Kipkabus
okay.
is just a boys' school. And
yeah.
it's a public school.
Yeah.
So it comes with all challenges. We could just eat porridge every day in the morning for breakfast.
Yeah.
Ugali, Monday, gideri, you know, maize and beans. I think that's typical life in public school in Kenya.
Yeah. Did our aunties and uncles go to the same
school? They did. Your mom actually went to that school.
Yeah.
And Uncle William,
yeah,
went to that. At the time, it was mixed school.
Okay.
And then I don't know how long are they now? It's not boys' school.
Yeah. So when does the idea? When did you think? What did you think of America? Like, did you ever have a picture of being in America? One time?
I think everybody had this picture. We've watched a lot of movies. And we always have this mentality that
yeah.
it's just like in the movies. But when I came. First of all, it was in October, and it was pretty chill. It was cold,
yeah,
because it was colder than what we were used to. Because Nyamu is cold too,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, this coldness here is crazy. And I think the thing, I saw a lot of trees, man. I guess it's just because in North Carolina it's
yeah.
more country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they consider it. There's a lot of forest, so. Yeah, I like the roads, you know.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
What was your culture shock when you first came to the US? Like, what's something you saw that you never expected?
Oh, what can I say? I mean, a lot of things. One thing with this is crazy because you coming, you know, from we speak English in Kenya, we speak English, but when you came here, you're trying to speak English to an American. You sound like you're speaking Spanish. That's crazy. Cause what are you saying every time? Like, what? Can you say it again?
Yeah.
Are you speaking Spanish? Some days would say that, but yeah, that was tricky at first because
yeah.
they could not understand us. But with time, some people do, some people still don't. So that's
mm-hmm.
that's something we gotta live with even
yeah.
today.
Yeah, you mentioned something about trees because when I was growing up, thinking about America, you would see the movies and then you just see like New
just
York
buildings,
City.
Buildings, yeah.
Yeah, you see New York City and you think the whole America is like New York City.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of trees. And then, of course, you know, getting to drive, you know, the difference because now when you're more in the country, because when you live in the city, mostly you don't need to have to own a car.
Yeah.
So we could own a car. As a necessity, not as a luxury. In Africa, when you have a car, it's more like a luxury.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, but here, struggling with those, you know, and operating, going to school and going to work, and it's just busy.
Yeah. So, walk us through your journey, like when, like your trip to come to the United States, like how was it, and like, what do you remember?
Man, that was memorable. It's crazy. So we left Nairobi. I remember it was at night. So took a flight. It was Egypt Air. We used Egypt Air.
Okay.
Of course, we landed in Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
We never got to go to Europe or
okay.
or Middle East. So and then we arrived in Cairo. So I think we left late in Nairobi. So when we arrived in Cairo. The plane that we're supposed to take already left because we arrived late, so they had to reschedule again. We had to take another flight. We had to wait until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to find us an hotel to stay until the following day, you know, because there was no other flight that goes to New York.
Yeah.
Around so they took us to get us in a shuttle, and then we went to the hotel, spend the night. So while we were in the hotel. So we didn't even carry our phones. We didn't have our phones with
mm-hmm.
us. We didn't even have, you know, money. I think I had a few hundred or even coins, just a few that would not even do anything.
Yeah. Was that Kenya money?
Yeah, that was Kenya money.
Okay.
And then, so I had to, I was like, I had to communicate with people and just tell them where we are, because they'll be waiting for us and they wouldn't know where we are. So we called, I remember calling my mom, just telling them we missed our flight.
Were you using the hotel phone? Okay.
The hotel phone. So we called them, hey, can we call international? And so I'm like, yeah. And then I called my aunt, you know, from Kenya. We had to call them, tell them, you know, where we are. Just, you know, update them where we are.
Yeah.
Make a few other calls, man. And then next day, my sister did the same, you know. It was me, my sister, and my dad, actually. Mm-hmm. We were traveling. So the next day, so the bill was really high.
For the phone call?
Yeah, the phone calls. We didn't even know. So they called, they came out and they came to the room. No, or was it the next day we were checking out? Yeah, we were checking out. They are like, hey, you have to pay. They give us a bill. It was something like, I think it was like $700.
Dollars?
Yeah, $700. Wow. We were like, what the hell? So at the time, of course, $700, we're like, okay, we don't even know. So we had to convert it. $700, that was like almost $750,000.
Yeah. Kenya money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it? Yeah. So they were like, you can't go. You have to pay this bill before you go. We didn't have any money. So we were like, okay, let's then call. We were like, let's call mom. You know, we tell them what's going on. We call mom. So we were like, and then that was another bill, you know. They can't even like, hey, let's just help you. Just mm-hmm. call them and settle the bill before you go.
Yeah.
So we call mom. We tell her, hey, things are not looking good here. They need $700. I think by the time we were done, we were like almost eight, almost, because they also added that to the bill.
Mm-hmm.
So,
was your mom upset that you guys called and spent money?
Oh yeah, she was mad.
I remember hearing that story. I wasn't gonna bring it up. I wanted you to talk about it. But I remember hearing about that story, and I think somehow your mom talked to my mom and told her, "Yeah, Laban." They were there at the hotel in Cairo and they called.
Made a phone call, man. Yeah. So we had to sacrifice my dad. So we were like, they can't let us stay overnight. They had to leave. We had to leave one person to stay over until it gets settled.
Okay.
So we left. Me and my sister, we went with the journey and then my dad stayed.
Okay.
That was on, I think, Wednesday, Thursday. So.
So your dad stayed at the hotel?
Yeah. He still stayed at the hotel. So that was on, because we traveled on Wednesday night, and then that was Thursday. And then Friday, so they sent the money, but now it happened to be now, I think, on Friday. So they sent the money on Friday, and Friday is when they have the mosque. They go to mosque on Friday. So everything is closed. It's like Sunday, you know, for Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So they could not do anything. So I think they had to wait until the following day. So Dad had to stay, I think, another two nights. So for us, we went to the airport. So getting to the airport, and then the first thing when they did, when we went to the hotel, they had to take our passports.
Yeah.
So going back to the airport, we didn't even know where to get our passports. So we had to look around, we need our passports. And then these people, it's so hard, they can't speak English either. Even in the hotel, we were really struggling to speak English with them. We could not understand them, they could not understand us.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, in the airport, there was a strike. I think the workers at the airport had a strike.
Wow.
And we could not, our flight was delayed. First, we were struggling. There were a lot of people in the airport. We could not go where. Everybody was crumbling everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we could not find where to get our passport. Eventually, we got it. And then they could not let anybody go in. We were like, hey, our flight is, because I think our flight was at 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
We tried everywhere. They were like, no, you can't go anywhere. You can't go in. So at least I showed them we were going to New York. They were like, okay, come on. So I eventually went in, but they could not.
How old were you at the time? I think
21, 20. That was 2011. Yeah, 2011. I was 20. I'm 32 now.
Okay. So you guys flew to New York?
2022. Yeah, so we actually our flight was delayed for 7 hours, so we had to wait. They had to buy us
in Cairo.
In Cairo.
Oh wow!
And that's when I first ate pizza. they bought us. They gave us a voucher.
Uh huh.
And that pizza tasted horrible. And it wasn't good. Anyway, eventually we came. We flew to New York. So when we came to New York, so imagine when we missed our first flight, so we ended up missing all of the next flights off. So when we arrived to New York, it was of course late, and we had to stay overweight until the next day. So we slept in the airport. We slept somewhere, just in the airport, And then the next day we rebooked our flight, and that's when we came. But Dad, Dad stayed there until he eventually came on Sunday. He arrived on Sunday. We arrived, I think, Friday.
That's crazy. I like to hear different people's stories on how we came to America, and especially
coming to America,
your own version. But and it's pretty cool how you come to America and then you learn other things and then you adapt to a new culture. How has been your life when you came to America? How have you adjusted from what you knew from Kenya to adapt to how America works?
I mean, you just have to, first, you have to go to driving school. Those are the basic things you need to go get your license, permit. At least mom had prepared us. We went to driving school in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Though in Kenya, we drive on our right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then here, so it's just a matter of getting used to the road signs and where to drive. I didn't take long, got my license and, get back, going to school. So, it was interesting, learning new things.
Yeah, new food.
New food.
What's your favorite American food?
Oh, man, I don't even know. I mean, I think the only thing is pizza. And they say pizza is not even American.
It's Italian, I think, something like that.
We don't really eat American food, mac and cheese and stuff. I don't even remember the last time I ate mac and cheese.
I know somebody who can eat mac and cheese for every day.
Every day.
For a living.
Yeah. We eat literally because we have access to unga.
Yeah.
Of course, kale is in the stores. Meat,
so you,
rice,
you guys
beans.
Eat mostly African food?
Mostly, yeah. Something we relate to.
Yeah, I have my unga, but I've not even cooked it. So, mac and cheese is the way to go now.
I don't mind eating it, but I wouldn't.
No, I don't. I'm not really a big fan of spaghetti, but mac and cheese I can eat it once in a while. I like it. So we are almost coming close to this recording, but I had a few questions I wanted to ask you about back in Kenya. So I mentioned in my podcast I shared about post-election violence, which happened in Kenya. I mean, I know it brings back bad memories to some people. It might bring back some bad memories to you. But just not being so graphic about it, what are some of the events or moments you remember during that time? I think it was 2017?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
2007.
2007, yeah, 2007.
Yeah, 2007. I mean, that was crazy. Actually, interesting thing is we had just, when everything started, because it was in December, I think after Christmas.
Yeah, we were just done with Christmas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Mom had come over for the holidays, so we had fun. So we escorted him to the airport. I remember even when we first, because she was supposed to leave, I think, the next day. So we were like, let's just go to Nairobi,
mm-hmm.
At least a day before, and at least have some time to be there on time. But now we drove to Burnt Forest, and then
mm-hmm.
we found out that she forgot
her passport. Actually, we were in the car with you guys when we were in Uncle David's car.
Yeah, Uncle David's car.
And she had her luggage in the trunk, and then we had put the phones in the trunk,
Yeah, so she forgot her passport. We had to go back. But it was already too late. We were like, let's just go the next day.
Yeah.
Well, we ended up going, and anyway, Mom just left. She flew, and then the next day we were coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So on our way back, we had started seeing roadblocks.
Yeah.
As we come back, we were like, "Mom was so lucky she got back before things got bad." Mm-hmm. We started seeing roadblocks. So Uncle David knew a different road. So we passed a a different one, yeah, more safer. But still, there was roadblocks. Uncle David is so good; he knows how to talk to people. We managed to go through, you know, all the roadblocks. It wasn't really bad at the time.
Yeah.
But when we arrived Eldoret, because he was supposed to drop us in town, mm-hmm, where we used to stay, and then, you know. And then I think we started seeing people turning around. People, I think the car vehicles, mm-hmm, were making U-turns, coming back. People were literally coming from the town. Uncle David was like, you know what, let's just go home.
Yeah.
Until things settled down. So we went to his place. We were still chilling. We started hearing gunshots. You know, people screaming and stuff. And then they started talking with, you know, his Kina. I think their relative.
Yeah.
I can't remember that. Joseph is called Joseph. Mm-hmm. And another guy. And they started talking, you know what, let's just head home. I mean, it was all impromptu. We just decided to go. So we started driving again. I think it was the same day, right?
I think
it was the same day. We started heading back to the country.
Yeah, we had two small cars and we had like 15 people.
I think it was three.
Yeah.
Because it was David's car and then the other, Joseph's car, and then there was another car too. Yeah. It was actually three. So we started driving. There was a lot of... Now the roadblocks were even getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And now people were going to town now. People are now literally walking. There are people in big trucks.
Yeah, big trucks.
They're going to fight. They had all these pangas, the machetes and rungus, you know, the clubs. And
that's the first time I learned what a rungu is. Yeah, I didn't know what it was.
The good thing, we didn't have, I mean, most people there, they don't own like guns and stuff. Yeah. So... But those are the only accessible weapons they could get. So, man, we going through roadblocks. And then they were extorting us. They were asking for money. Every roadblock, mm-hmm, was asking for money. I remember we were collecting money from
Sambaza.
Yeah.
That's why I learned that
they word. They could not let us go until we pay something.
Yeah.
I remember we paid until, by the time we got home, we were broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least from cash. Yeah. But... Yeah, they were trying, because I remember we had older guys, like the college,
mm-hmm,
like in, I don't remember their name, the age mates with Kip.
Okay.
And they were like, hey, these are old enough that we all need to go to fight. They need, mm-hmm, to go to fight. So they were trying, because he was driving. One of the guys was driving. Mm-hmm. They were like, hey, you gotta get back. You gotta get them, you know, go and fight with us. But that's when his dad took over and... We were like, you know what, let's get home fast,
mm-hmm,
and then we will come. Let's get the kids fast home.
Yeah.
And then we took blankets and stuff. We just took the little we could get.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like we are hiding people back there in the trunk. They were like, hey, who's back there? Nani mficha, nani uko nyuma? We're trying to look around. And then Akina Suzy, you know how they have light skin, and they were like, they thought they were from central.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, nani nani yao? And then they're trying to make you guys speak Kale.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak?
I remember Benjamin pretending to be deaf, like he couldn't speak Swahili.
No, yeah, really harassed us.
Yeah. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but eventually we got home. It was much safer out there. But the problem, we could not access anything, you know, trying to buy anything. Everything was shut down in town. Nobody was going anywhere, so we could just make use of whatever we have. I don't know how long we stayed there.
I don't remember exactly, but I knew our visas expired too, like for example to be in, because the border was closed, the border to Uganda.
Exactly, yeah.
So we couldn't cross to go back to Uganda. But yeah, I think we were there. We went a little over January, like,
yeah,
we went in January, like I think a week or two, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to hear your perspective on that. And, like, I know that's a sad story, and a lot of people have bad memories about it. That thing gave me PTSD for a long time. And just thinking about it, and every time you go to school, you just write about the day I'll never forget. And, like, we won't forget.
Oh, yes.
Like, burn people's houses. But yeah, so the other question, what's one lesson you've learned in life? Like, what's a life lesson you've learned in everything you've gone through?
I mean, the thing that I really like, like to use is always the golden rule. you know, do to them what you want them to do unto you. It's you know, it's always make it easier for life, because you know, when you want to try to do something bad, or you think of anything, or when you see somebody else going through hard situations, you know, put yourself in their shoes. In one way or the other, it will help you, you know, do you know, something better, at least make you make the right decisions. And
That's
the golden rule.
That's really good, and that's something like I think everybody could use, like just give a hand to somebody who needs it and I'll get back to you. The other question is, who do you want to see on this podcast, and you think somebody they can come, you can help us get the person to come on the podcast to talk about their story?
I'd love you to host Emily.
That's a good, nobody has ever said that. Nobody has ever said that. So yeah, that's a good guess. So I'm gonna give you the task to help me convince Emily to come on this podcast.
I know, me too. I was relaxed. I was like, man, how?
I remember when we were in Orlando, you told me, oh man, bro, I wanna come, but I'm really, I don't wanna look in cameras.
Cameras, man, this makes me nervous. And I like to be behind it, but not right in front of it. Yeah. But I also really would love to be like real. I didn't want to do like Zoom videos.
Right. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It would be cool to be there.
Yeah, I know you mentioned something like that. Just be there in person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I really appreciate it actually. Most of my friends live far away. That's why I can't do like a live one. But I appreciate you being here and we're able to record these. The last question. It's a signature question for the podcast. Most of you know it. If you've been listening to my podcast, you might guess it. But what gets you excited about life?
Oh, man. I mean, I think it's just if you can wake up in the morning and you're healthy, you go to work and back. That gets me, you know, excited. Mm. We might go through different hard situations, but as long as you're healthy, you can still do or change whatever you're going through. You have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, waking up and, because I work in healthcare, and I've seen different people with different situations, different, you know, so, and they can't do anything about it. Yeah. So if you're able to do anything about it, that's why, you know, strive, grateful for life. You wake up every morning, just thank God, like, see another day and be grateful.
Yeah, that's really good. And all of you who listen to my podcast, you've had that, and something to remember. I like asking those questions for somebody to think about it. Think about it. Every time somebody gives me an answer, makes me think about it. But the one thing I forgot to say, this man right here was the best man of my wedding. So he's the best man in the whole world. So thanks, Laban, for being on my podcast. Yeah, I'm glad we could make this happen. So thank you, sir. Say hi to everybody in North Carolina. That's a good one. That's a good one. You hit right on the head. Most of my friends from Uganda will understand that. All right. Thank you very much and be blessed.
Peace out.
Hey there, I am Bonnie Kibuka, the host of the Ugandan Boy Talk Show. Thanks for watching my video, and don't forget to hit subscribe and share with a friend. Tune in every Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time for a new episode of my podcast. And for more information about this podcast, follow me on Instagram page, talk_show_256.